Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is from SI.com. He is Russ Dellinger, and he has been covering what's going on in D.C. He's got a great article this morning if you haven't had a chance to read about it, and it's all pretty much about name, image, and likeness for the NCAA. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, Russ. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Hey, Russ.
We are hanging in. All right, so what was your big takeaways from yesterday as far as name, image, and likeness?
Well, my takeaways were probably not going to have a congressional NIL bill by July 1. It was pretty clear that that's not happening, and so on July 1, we'll have state laws take effect, and you'll have people or schools that are in states with the law be operating by that law while others operate under different state laws or under the NCAA's own legislation. Because that was really what came out of that yesterday. Something else I think that emerged and was kind of expected, but all of the negotiations that a group of bipartisan, like a working group of senators, have gotten together over the last few months trying to work on a bipartisan congressional bill. And a lot of their conversations and negotiations and stuff kind of came out publicly yesterday in that hearing. You could tell that a lot of the way they asked their questions and things about, you know, what the negotiations are exactly about. And so we got a little better idea of the situation with a congressional bill. One, that is probably not happening July 1, and two, a little bit of, about the concepts and maybe the disagreements among lawmakers.
Ross, does Congress even have the authority to put something in here if they even wanted to? Isn't this more of a state issue than it would be a national issue, a federal issue?
Well, that's a lot of people view it that way. In fact, a lot of Democratic senators view it that way and believe that, and Republican senators as well, believe that that Congress should not get involved and that the states should follow other state laws, and that's how it should be. However, I think the majority of folks in college sports and the industry of college sports, and a lot of those in D.C., believe that a patchwork of state laws, all differing, although in many cases there are minor differences, it won't work, and it'll be a recruiting disadvantage or advantage for certain schools depending on how their state law is written. So there is this, yeah, there is disagreement on that by a minority in Congress. I think the vast majority of the Senate, and that came out yesterday in the hearing as well, does agree that there needs to be a federal bill. And so I do believe there will be one. It just, I'm not exactly sure when.
So are we, Ross, are we looking at the Wild West here, though, you know, on July 1st? And when you look on your Twitter account, you've got a map of how it plays out throughout the country with all the states. And if I'm reading it right, it's like a lot of SEC states are ready to roll here on July 1, where those rules will be in place for those athletes primarily, you know, it looks like SEC states.
But it is going to be a little chaotic because – yeah, there's five. There's, I think it's now up to 18 states have passed laws, NIL laws. Five of them go into effect July 1, as you mentioned. Four of the five are in the SEC footprint. But another probably three or four could go into effect July 1 as well. They're kind of vague on their effective date. And then the other 10 or so that have already been passed, they have effective dates at a later date. And, you know, one is like next summer. Another one might be in January. But you're going to have, you know, schools and athletes at schools in the states that have an NIL law that kicks in July 1, be able to use the elements of that law. So in Mississippi, which it does kick in July 1, you'll have Mississippi State and Ole Miss players being able to strike endorsement deals by following their state law. Florida's kicks in July 1 as well. Florida State, University of Florida, Miami athletes will be able to use their own state law, which is different than Mississippi's, right? It includes some different concepts probably. And then all the other schools in the nation that don't have a state law kicking in July 1 will follow by the NCAA's own legislation, which is supposed to be passed at the end of this month. But again, the NCAA's own legislation is different from a lot of the state laws as well. So there's, and again, these differences, they're not big. And we probably have made it too big of a deal out of this chaotic thing that might happen, because the state laws there are slight differences in intricacies here and there in them. So it can be managed. It's not preferable, though. And I think that most would agree that a uniform model is the one from Congress that is really the best solution.
See, Ross, this is the thing that to me, and I don't envy you having to sort through all this stuff with your work on this. If different states have different things, and the whole recruiting angle to me, that immediately jumped out that, you know, for instance, according to the map that you have on your Twitter page, Indiana doesn't have any bill going. They're one of those states. Well, all right, so that puts Indiana at a clear disadvantage to a state that would have that. And so what do you do about that? What can you possibly do to level that out? Because to me, it takes an issue that needs fixed, you know, with name, image, and likeness, but then puts that in another arena that makes things even more lopsided that you've been trying to correct, perhaps. It just, to me, it stirs the pot even more. Is that not the case?
Yeah, Indiana's a great example. They're one of the states, I believe, on that map that have never even had a bill introduced. I think there are 10 of those states that have never even had an NIL bill introduced. And there's another six that have not had a bill introduced this session, this year. So there's 16 states that are way behind. And what's going to happen is if the NCAA doesn't pass its own legislation, which they're waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on the Alston case in order to pass their legislation, which is supposed to come at some point this month. But if it doesn't, and the NCAA doesn't pass its own legislation, then you have states and schools and states without, you know, school like Indiana, like schools and states without a state law that won't have any ability to have NIL. And that will be an incredible advantage, of course, for the states who are under state law and have the ability to do NIL. But I think if the NCAA follows through and does pass their own legislation there, and it kicks in July 1 as well, then I think we'll be okay. It won't be as big of an advantage. And so that's essential here, is the NCAA passing its own legislation. That's the bottom line. That needs to get done. But even if it gets done, as I mentioned, there will be variations in the different state laws, and there'll be some differences. And like you said, there's a recruiting advantage and disadvantage. And Mark Few, the Gonzaga basketball coach, spelled all that out yesterday in the hearing to lawmakers about how big of an advantage it would be for those who have maybe more state laws that give more freedom to athletes. They can recruit to that. And those who don't have that, because the NCAA's legislation is supposed to be a little more NCAA friendly, as you might expect, while some of these state laws are more athlete friendly. So, yeah, there's going to be disadvantages and advantages. until we get some kind of universal model. And you ask the question, how do we fix it? How do we level the playing field? The only way is a congressional bill that provides a universal model, like an umbrella rule that everybody will follow.
And Ross, that's here's where I'm confused, because, I mean, we're talking a lot about NCAA, but if Congress is involved, isn't this like over 18, or is this for, you know, because I wonder if this doesn't dip into the high school ranks too, or NAIA, or all, you know what I'm saying? Is this bigger than NCAA that Congress is talking about this, or am I just mistaken?
Well, it would. I mean, that's a great question. I don't think the concepts of a congressional bill, the bipartisan one they're working on, I don't know how much they touch on other athletes, but I know, you know, like as far as high school players, but right. I would tend to think that this would involve high school players as well. They would have the ability to do, you know, name, image, and likeness stuff. And some state laws don't touch that at all. It just, again, just depends, because they're all different. So some state laws don't even include anything about high school players. And some state laws do, and they say they allow, you know, they allow high school players to strike endorsement deals and all this stuff as well. So it just kind of, yeah, it's all over the map, but I would guess that a congressional bill of some kind would include, you know, high school players, and this would be like a broad ruling, maybe not just for college sports, but for every kind of athlete. And I should point out this too. I think, again, I haven't really dove into this topic, but at many levels, some high school players do this stuff already. Like, you know, and when they get to the NCAA level, they have to stop. So like some high school player, I know it's ridiculous. Some high school players do like, you know, they'll have their own YouTube channel, or and they'll make money off of it. And then you know, these stories have been told a lot. When they get to the NCAA, because of NCAA rules, they have to stop.
Wow. Ross Dellinger joining us from SI.com. Ross, I want you to look in the crystal ball, and that's unfair of me to ask. Let's just say this passes in some way, shape, or form on a federal level, and it becomes everybody can do it, no sweat. College athletes have their name, image, and likeness. They can do with it what they want. How much does that affect the run-of-the-mill volleyball player at fill-in-the-blank state? Is this just going to be a select few making a ton of money and everybody else being able to pick up some, you know, pocket change, or what?
Well, if the run-of-the-mill volleyball player has 50,000 Twitter followers or Instagram followers, then she will probably make some money, and some good money. So a lot of these deals that we'll see athletes doing are going to be based on social media. They're going to be ad campaigns and endorsement type of commercials on social media. And that's going to be probably the top avenue that we'll see athletes go down. The other thing will be probably hometown business type stuff, as far as, you know, even the backup guard or something. If, you know, say in Alabama, if he's, if he doesn't, he's, you know, too, not known enough to get some kind of deal nationally, maybe his hometown in Alabama has a business that will sponsor him. So you'll see a lot of that, you know, and then you'll see a lot of athletes doing what they probably should have been able to do all along, which is use their expertise to have camps of their own and make money off of those camps and have teach classes or whatnot about their sport. So you'll see a lot of that. So yes, the top 1% or 0.5% will probably make a majority of the money, right? The Trevor Lawrences, the Joe Burrows types. They're going to be making six figures on endorsement deals, and they're going to be making the top. But there's a lot of athletes, Olympic sports athletes, especially women who have large social media, Instagram followers, that are going to make a lot of money as well. And then there's going to be those in between, right, that probably don't even necessarily hit the five figure mark, but might make couple thousand dollars a year on little endorsement social media stuff.
Interesting stuff. Ross, thank you. We're following along. Of course, we're going to read your stuff at SI.com. Great read today on everything that happened yesterday, too. So I would encourage folks to go out if they want to learn a little bit more to make sure they read your story right now, too. So, Ross, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thank you all.
Ross, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.